Coming off an amazing Super Wildcard weekend, we start hour number two. I am Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. In fact, live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules. Enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right, so we're still open phones right now. I've got two interviews coming up in hour number three. Don't wait. You're not getting through next hour. This is the hour, 1-800-636-8686. Spent the first hour talking about the Browns almost exclusively. I will change up and talk about some of the other teams that we saw over the weekend in a minute, including the Bills. First, some reaction. Rome, big head bets. More like big head debts. Hector and La Quinta. Hey, Hector. Gambling game is hard, dog. I think the big head went 3-2-1 over the weekend. And nothing wrong with that. And again, he came into the weekend hitting it like 64% against the spread. Rome, we agree. The Browns made history, and they are back. And this is their year. Regards, Notre Dame in the college football playoff every time. Eric in Colorado. Bad analogy, E. Dear Jim, on cloud freaking nine here in the land to stand up to the bully that has just wrecked us for two decades and smash them in the face and have it end with the lead bully crying on the bench is quite a feeling. Thanks for joining us on the ride. Dan in C-Town, joining you on the ride, man. I started that ride. But it's good to be with you on the ride. He's talking about the, quote, lead bully, Ben Roethlisberger, crying on the bench after the game. Actual tears. Johnny Scabs, quote, this is the greatest thing to happen to Cleveland since birth control.
Cleveland?
Thanks, John. Thanks. You're not making it better. You never do. All right, so let's move on. If you're on hold, stay there. Bills Mafia. Let me invite you to the party. Bills Mafia. Hell no, I have not forgotten about you. But I do have one question for you, Mafia. How y'all living? How the hell are you all living right now? I'm guessing pretty damn well. Look, I know that 27-24 win over the Colts was not as convincing as you would have liked. But if the playoffs are about two things, survive and advance, then you're living really well. Because that's it. That's all that matters. There are no style points. If you blow the Colts out, you don't get to skip around. You don't get a free pass into the Super Bowl. If you win by 30 instead of 3 points, you don't get a bye. I'm here to tell you, I actually think how that went down is going to be good for you. It's a good thing. Probably the best thing, because it reminds you, as dominant as you have been the last several weeks, the playoffs are a different animal altogether, a totally different deal. A game like that's going to dial you in. It's going to make you sharper. You'll be so much better for it. I guarantee they'll be better this coming weekend than they were last. And there was nothing wrong with last weekend. Nothing wrong with hosting and winning your first playoff game in a quarter of a century. So don't get this twisted. There's no need for an apology. There are no regrets. You either win and you move on, or you lose and you go home, and the Bills are moving on. And yes, I know they had been a juggernaut coming into that game. I'd been talking about it all week. And when they were dancing during practice, I told Frank Reich he better look the hell out. And Reich did just that. Because the Colts came in with a serious plan. They threw a lot of different looks at that Bills offense. They were giving Josh Allen some looks that maybe he had not seen before. In fact, I'd go as far as to say they were stymieing that Bills offense. The crew that was putting up nearly 50 per game in the past three games suddenly looked pretty mortal. But they showed another side on Saturday. They can blow you out and they can win a street fight. And even though things were rolling, or were not rolling early on, Allen still managed to lead an 8-play, 85-yard drive that ended with this.
Second and goal at the Colts 3. Allen, designed run, looking to his right, tries to cut back left. Now he throws a prayer, near right side, tumbling grab, touchdown! The improvisation of Allen as he connects with Dawson Knox, and the first touchdown of the NFL playoffs belongs to the Bills.
Oh my goodness, I thought it was a run.
And that's Westwood 1. I mean, I could break down that play until I'm blue in the face, but as always, I'm going to give it to somebody who's much better at that sort of thing than I am. I'm going to turn it over to Deion Dawkins for the ultimate analysis. And the snowman delivered like he always does.
First touchdown to Knox. Like, come on now. The kid is special. You know, he's special. This is a special group. And Josh is almost like a creative main character on Madden with a 99 overall.
Right. And if you thought that he was special and a creative character on that first touchdown, then you were probably blown away by that second touchdown drive, the one just before the end of the first half. Down 10-7, starting with the ball on his own 4-yard line, Allen leads a 10-play, 96-yard drive that ends with this TD.
Allen has never thrown a pick in the red zone. He's going to play fake to Moss, take it himself, and he's in! Standing up as he breaks the plane, brought to a bent left knee, and Josh Allen rumbles in for a touchdown on the ground.
The Colts have totally dominated this first half. They're losing 10-14. That is unbelievable.
That was brass. That was clutch. That was elite. 96 yards in 92 seconds and scoring right before halftime. Man, that is special stuff. Snowman, what do you think?
The kid is, like, he's just out there just having fun. You know, he's just out there just having fun, executing, doing what he does best, and that's leading. He continues to just show it. Like, listen, if Josh Allen does not win the MVP, this thing is rigged. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's doing it day in and day out. He's extending plays. He's making plays with his arms. He's making plays with his eyes. He's making plays with his feet. He's making plays for the offense every single play. And it's just like, man, the kid is special. And he's still young. So it's just like he has a long journey of greatness ahead of him.
Snowman, there is so much in that quote. So much good stuff in that quote. Like the statement, if Josh Allen does not win the MVP, this thing is rigged. I love that. But the biggest thing from that quote, the biggest takeaway that I have from that quote from Dawkins is how much his teammates love Josh Allen. They love this guy. It's not just that he's like this athletic freak. It's not even that he's just a good quarterback. They love the guy. It's special. How about Cole Beasley? Check out a vet, a guy who's seen everything. Like Cole Beasley saying this about his quarterback.
He's the engine that makes this thing run. We just got to do our best to be as good as him.
Quote, he's the engine that makes this thing run. We just have to do our best to be as good as him. Again, you don't get higher praise than that. That's a vet. That's an experienced guy and a vet saying that we have to do our best to be as good as he is. I mean, that's remarkable. That's leadership. That's charisma. That's it. That's the kind of leadership that wins playoff games and makes Super Bowl runs. And by the way, the guys around Josh Allen did step up. They did match him with their greatness. I mean, sure, the defense may not have played the way that it would have liked. You could focus on that if you want to. But they were going up against a good Colts offense with a strong identity and especially on the ground. But in terms of the Bills, did you see their wideouts? Gabriel Davis, freaky as hell, with his toe taps. Stephon Diggs, with 128 yards, and this.
Allen, play fake, blitzes on. He throws, deep shot down the far right side. End zone, touchdown, Stephon Diggs. He led the league in catches and yards, and he comes up with his first postseason touchdown today. And the Bills expand their advantage.
I don't know what TJ Carey was doing. He watched Stephon Diggs run by him almost like I did.
All right, so like, I'm not saying that the Bills were perfect on Saturday. They weren't. In fact, far from it. But let me say this once again. It's a good thing because they will be better for it. That had all the hallmarks of the kind of game where you look back in a couple of weeks and say, that was the starting point. That win makes it a starting point. A loss would have been the ending point, but they didn't lose. They won. They move on, survive, advance. And now they've got a big test. They're going to host the Ravens on Sunday. And Bills fans, when you think back on that game, don't forget, that's a good Colts team. Unlike some other teams, no names mentioned, the Chicago Bears, the Colts did belong in the playoffs. They could have made a run in the playoffs, and they would have if they didn't run into the Bills. Check these numbers out. Indy puts up 474 yards of total offense and no turnovers. If you had told Frank Reich before that game that he'd have those numbers, I guarantee he would have been pumped and he would have started to plan for the next round. Because before Saturday, every single team that had 450 yards of total offense and no turnovers in the postseason advanced in the postseason. Every team that ever did that had won until the Colts met the Bills. That tells you something about the Bills. And my guy, Deion Dawkins, would tell you that that tells you something about Josh Allen.
If I could put it in one word, he was just lasered in, dialed in, just extremely focused where he was like, nah, we're not walking off this field and with a loss. I seen it. I felt it in Josh's emotions and how he was talking, how he was calling calls, how his aggression was. It's just there. And he went on the field with the kill or be killed mentality.
To me, that's so much of what you need and so much of what defines a franchise quarterback. Again, the guy's got all the physical ability. We know this. I mean, he got 6'5". He's athletic. He's got crazy arm talent. He can make plays with his legs. But the stuff that Deion Dawkins is talking about, all those intangibles, like he had this kill or be killed mentality. He's laser focused. He's locked in. He's dialed in. There was no way that guy was coming off the field without a win. You know, all those intangibles. That's what makes that guy special. Because a lot of guys have the physical skills. Buffalo, you have yourselves a quarterback. A franchise quarterback. A damn special quarterback. A damn special quarterback. A damn special football team. And much as I would say for Cleveland as well, I could not be happier for the city of Buffalo or that fan base. Because like Cleveland and the Browns fans, you deserve it too. So if the NFL is better when the Browns are good, and the NFL is better when the Bills are good, how much better is the NFL when they're both good and both advancing in the postseason? So much better. It's an amazing weekend. How much better is the NFL when it's on Nick? That was fun. The NFL on Nickelodeon. I'll get to that as well. Hey, Rome. Even I can't believe how little attention tonight's game is getting. Signed, Caleb, at a bar on ladies' night. Casey in New Hampshire. That's true. It is kind of hard to believe, right? The college football playoff championship game. And that's a really good matchup. Is this evening, but it's kind of getting lost in the shuffle. I do want to talk about Tampa Bay and the Washington football team. Good game. That was not supposed to be a good game, and that was a good game. And I'll get to that as well. One phone line open. 1-800-636-8686. The Ravens get over. Hey, Rome. With all the success the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball had with coming back and finishing their seasons during a pandemic, you think college football would try to? I know it's not time for an ATP yet, but why hasn't college football come back? Signed, Vincent off the 10 in the San Gabriel Valley. Yeah, Vincent, still on brand, still in market, on topic, and on brand. I'd forgotten about you, bro. This was the guy sending me the same sort of email during the Stanley Cup final. Dude, just because they're finishing without the kind of fanfare you would expect does not mean that they're not finishing. And that was a crazy, super wild card weekend with a double triple header. But they're going to play that game nonetheless. A lot of the money going towards Bama. I like that matchup. I'm here to tell you, Ohio State is a hell of a lot more competitive than that. All right, so when we come back, more telephone calls. And I want to talk more about what I saw over the weekend, including the Bucks, the football team, the Ravens, the Bears, and more. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Stops. This this weekend. The NFL playoffs continue on CBS. AFC is now down to four teams. The defending champion Chiefs, still the team to beat. Who will take the next step on the road to Super Bowl 55? Find out this weekend when the AFC divisional round plays out on CBS. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so somebody somewhere decided that it would be a good idea to put an NFL playoff game on Nickelodeon. You know, like a violent, high-stakes football game between the Bears and the Saints on a kids' network. Spoiler alert, that was not a good idea. It was just not a good idea. It was a freaking great idea. Like, we've all seen hundreds, if not thousands, of football games, but none of us had ever seen one through the eyes of TV producers that were gearing it or marketing it towards kids until now. And I'm here to tell you, the adults got way more out of that, way more enjoyment than even the kids, because it was that awesome. Like, Nick is the network that brought the world Doug and Rocket Power and the Rugrats and Rocco and Ren and Stimpy and all that and Hey Arnold. You know, the network that created Cat Dog, Angry Beavers, Double Dare. All great shows. All great shows if you're age 5 to 14. But now they were going to bring us a football game. A football game with superimposed slime cannons in the end zones.
It's Thomas. He dances his way into the end zone.
There we go with the slime cannons. Hey, that is epic.
How about that? How awesome was that to get slimed when he scored a touchdown?
It actually was. That was the sound of Mike Thomas going for six and setting off the virtual green slime cannons in every corner of the slime zone. Like, you want to feel like you're on acid without actually dropping that tab under your tongue? Watch a bunch of green slime fill up the screen during an NFL playoff game. Or watch a 35-foot tall, 18-foot wide CGI SpongeBob fill up every square inch of the uprights during field goal kicks.
And Lux pushed it wide to the right.
He must have saw SpongeBob and got scared.
Had to have been. I mean, it's awesome. Like, are you ready, adults? I can't hear you. Oh, who lives in a field goal post over the end zone?
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, captain.
I can't hear you.
Aye, aye, captain.
Oh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
You talk about trippy. Every time a kicker came out to attempt a field goal or a PAT, SpongeBob's gigantic dome would fill up that space where the Allstate hands have been living for years. And every time a penalty would be called, young Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory would come out to explain it.
Ball start, offense number 51. 5-yard penalty, it remains third down.
A false start. That's when an offensive player illegally moves after lining up for, but prior to, the snap.
Thank you, Sheldon.
Hey, Sheldon, good looking out. I mean, that's not just helpful for kids who don't understand football yet. That's helpful for adults like Adam Hawk who don't understand football yet. Thankfully, young Sheldon never needed to explain what a catch is because the NFL itself still doesn't even understand that. And now it's the most inevitable thing of all time. An explicit hot mic moment on a kid's network. Here's Cordero Patterson vehemently disagreeing with a flag and standing way too close while airing his opinion.
All right.
From the network that brought you Paw Patrol, Blue's Clues, and Dora the Explorer comes a new kind of learning show. Cordero Patterson teaches your kid the F word. Check out local listings this winter. Shout out to my man, Nate Burleson, for handling that like a pro. He was excellent. Nate was excellent on the call yesterday, which was the only thing that was not a surprise. That and Mitch Trubisky going Mitch Trubisky and the Bears failing miserably yet again. And speaking of Mitch playing terribly, Nickelodeon decided to have their own MVP award for the game. You know, kind of like the way NBC gives out giant Renaissance fair turkey legs on Thanksgiving to the best players of the night. Except Nick let the fans vote instead of just picking the players themselves. Truly interactive. So, since most adults were watching, and most of those adults were on Twitter at a time, and a bunch of different sports blogs started to solicit everybody to spam the vote for Mitch Trubisky, what do you think happened? I mean, nothing would be funnier than Nickelodeon handing a gimmicky, green and orange MVP trophy to a guy who had a QBR of 13. Who just got his head kicked in and his team sent home. And what do you know? Guess who won? Mitch. Mitch won the award. In fact, ran away with the fan vote and was the MVP of that game. But more importantly, another punchline on NFL Twitter that got over big by hijacking the proceedings. Listen, if you're going to have slime zones, my man Nate, SpongeBob field goals and MVPs going to the worst players of the game as gag gifts, then I am all for Nick broadcasting every single game from here on out. Except for the ones that go to CBS. Nick just made the least entertaining game of the entire weekend into can't miss TV. And they closed it out by dumping a giant bucket of slime on Sean Payton's head.
Hi, I'm Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints, and I'm about ready to get slimed after our super wild card win on Nickelodeon this weekend.
Ah!
Man.
Congratulations, coach.
Dude, my man's had quite a year, right? Sean Payton started the season as one of the first in the NFL to get COVID. And then became the first coach ever to get a slime bath after a playoff win. Hey, Alvin, you might want to get your bell ready. I double dare you to tell me that that game yesterday was not all that. Because it was. Even if Nick intended it to be for the Rugrats of the house. The adults, though, got the most out of it. And I totally dug it. There were some real monsters on the Saints D yesterday, and Drew Brees showed that he still has some rocket power in that arm. And now the Saints play Tampa Bay. Brady will be tough, but the Saints are up to figure it out. You see what we did there? That was kind of fun. The NFL and Nick was fun. And Nate was great. I knew he would be. Nate was tremendous. Nate Burleson. So he had that assignment. He was on it, and he crushed it. The Browns advance. The Bills advance. The NFL was on Nick. It was a blast. One 800 636 8686. Who do you want to talk about? Let's go to Arizona. Leon in Arizona. Leon, what's going on? How are you?
All right.
Go ahead, Leon. You're on the air.
Man, I want to talk about Baltimore. I heard those Bill fans.
You do?
You don't like that call.
I don't like that.
Well,
call.
If you want to talk about them, why don't you talk about them? Come on, man. Got caught with your hand in the bag. Literally. I don't know how many times out there go over this. I know that you don't know when I'm coming to you, but can you be ready when I come to you? So we don't have those kind of awkward moments like that.
Awkward.
Again, you might be on hold for 5 minutes. You might be on hold for 50 minutes. You might be on hold for 50 days, like Parody Larry. Just be ready. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready, so I don't have those awkward moments when I do come to you. Because that was awkward. All right, so with that, we'll take a short time out. Championship game is this evening. Yogi Roth at the top of the hour to break that down. Bama, the big favorite. I'm telling you, Ohio State has got a lot of skill. A lot of skill. They might not be defensively what they've been in years past, but they are loaded offensively. So we will talk about that top of the hour. Green Bay Packers tight end, Mercedes Lewis coming up in hour number three. My thoughts on Tom Brady and the Bucks and the Washington football team also when we come back. But here is your bottom of the hour sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
As you know, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper is better for you. It's higher in essential protein than chips, sugar-filled energy bars, or candy. You want to make sure you ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? Yogi Roth joins me in 20 minutes. We'll get a breakdown of the championship game this evening, Alabama and Ohio State. Jamie in Green Bay quickly is in. Quote, kids were too busy playing video games to care about football on Nickelodeon. That game was for guys reliving childhood and stoners. I mean, maybe for some. I don't think that's what the intent was. That might have been what your takeaway was. It was fun. Definitely a different thing. And it was fun. Great weekend. So before America's team captivated the sports world on Sunday night, it seemed like the country had adopted a player of its own and tried to deem him America's player. And that was just 24 hours earlier, because in a game with the nation watching as Tom Brady started his first run towards the Lombardi, right? That's what that game was supposed to be all about. All right, so now the season can really begin. Now we get to see TB43 make a run at number 7. That's what this is about, right? That's what we all tuned in to see, right? Instead, that's not what we got. I mean, we did get that, and I'll get to that in a minute. But what we really got was Taylor Heinicke, who captivated the eyeballs and hearts of every single person watching. Because Heinicke, the emergency starter for the Washington football team after Alex Smith couldn't go, was straight ridiculous on Saturday night.
Totally ridiculous, Rome.
I mean, this guy was totally ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous, Rome.
Totally ridiculous, America. Bleeping legend on Saturday night. Honestly, I'm still actually having a hard time kind of getting my head around or processing what I saw because it was that mind-blowing. I mean, did I really see a dude who was studying math at Old Dominion not long ago single-handedly bring a 7-9 football team back and give the Brady or the Bucks and Tom Brady all they could handle collectively? Was I really watching an ODU undergrad battle the GOAT on the national stage in a playoff game? Did I really see that? Did we all really see that? Did Brady himself see that? What was Brady thinking on the other sideline? I think I did, man. I think we all did. And after Heinicke made this stupid, wizardly run late in the third quarter where he escaped a couple of dudes in the backfield and then beat a handful of pissed off Bucks to the pylon for 6, you had to start to believe and even buy the hype.
In the gun, there's the snap, 4-man rush. He has to backpedal. He's hit. He crouches low. He avoids the rush. He runs to the 10 to the near side, lane of 5. Diving to the pylon, near side. It is a touchdown! Oh my goodness! What a run by the Washington quarterback! Touchdown, Washington!
Absolutely incredible. Incredible. And he was at it again later on. I was starting to wonder if this guy could pull this off when he found Steven Sims Jr. with a toe-tapping score to pull Washington within 5 with just under 5 minutes to go in the contest. Could this guy really do this?
He's in the gun. He gets the snap in a 4-man rush. He cocks his right arm. He throws a pass far sideline in the corner. It is caught. It's a touchdown! Steven Sims with an over-the-shoulder catch in the back far corner of the end zone. And Washington is still alive on the 11-yard touchdown pass. A beauty to the heavily covered Sims.
Even Brady was in shock on the sideline. You saw it. You saw the video. Hell, the great Patrick Mahomes was in shock on Twitter, tweeting, quote, "Regardless of the outcome, what a great game by Heineke." We got Patrick Mahomes tweeting about the guy in-game. Now, as we all know, he didn't pull it out. But he'll be pulling a nice, fat raise soon enough. Rightfully so. His cat showed that not only can he play in the NFL, he could challenge for a starting job somewhere. The guy was great. It was mind-blowing. Now, credit where credit's due. Johnny bleeping Foxborough. Got to give it to the old man. Because as much as that Washington pass rush was hyped coming in, and understandably so and rightfully so, TB43 shredded them. This dude rode into the end of the season on a hot streak, rode that right into the district, and pretty much did the same thing to a pretty damn good defense, just as he has been doing of late. He torched that secondary for 381 yards. He led the offense to over 500 total yards. And that was Foxborough's fourth straight game of at least 300 yards passing. And during that span, he's got 12 touchdown passes and only one pick. And while it was not easy, and it did take some time, and I think there were certainly question marks even coming into that game, it would appear that Tommy, Bruce Arians, and Byron Leftwich finally have all those talented pieces on offense on the same page. They're gelling, they're meshing, and they seem to have it all together when they have to have it. And that offense, outside of some uncharacteristic drops by Chris Godwin, is humming. And my man Chris, you are one drop away from Mrs. Foxborough lighting into you, my man. Clean it up. I really don't need you doing that either after I hype you up on Twitter the way I did. Something else that happened. But in all honesty, Godwin is not the problem. Far from it. If there is a problem, it's their defense. I mean, sure, they were facing a legend in Heineke. He's going to make good defenses look really bad, and he did. Think about that defense, though. Do you really know what you're going to get from them week to week? In fact, it seems to me that defense, if anything, might be getting worse week by week. Remember at the beginning of the season, the question was, how long is it going to take this offense to come together and catch up to this badass defense? Remember that defense early on. Remember that defense which so dominated Aaron Rodgers, who's going to win the MVP. That defense dominated the Packers in week 6. And now the question itself has been flipped on its head. Tampa, now you have a Super Bowl caliber offense. You have the Super Bowl caliber offense that you thought you would have, but not the defense. At least not as of right now. So you better get right. Because while Drew Brees does not have Heineke's mobility, he sure as hell does have Alvin Kamara. And he's got Michael Thomas. And he's got some other guys who can make plays. So, Bucks fan, you better hope that your D learn from the phenom that is Taylor Heineke. And clean it up, man. Clean it up ASAP.
Clean it up.
Clean it up.
Clean it up.
ASAP. And then you get the first ever appearance or meetup between Drew Brees and Tom Brady in the postseason. Brady apparently is going to come back next year. Brees apparently is going to stop after this year, although that could change. You never know, but he's got a job waiting for him at NBC. So neither one of them may be what they used to be, but both are still dangerous. Both are still effective. And we're going to get that matchup this coming weekend. Good matchup. So Brady did look good. Heineke was amazing. That was fun. That was a lot of fun. You have your telephone number. And I'm getting some reaction, too. Chris, no longer in St. Pete, quote, "The Bears will really be something when young Sheldon explains to them that forward passes are allowed." Yeah, I'll talk about the Bears. I'll get there. At Maytag_Zach tweets, "I've been waiting all morning for your NFL on Nickelodeon takes. We need more of that next season. It was above amazing." It was fun. That was a really good idea. That's why I started that take by saying somebody had it in their head that that'd be a good idea. They were wrong. It was a great idea. Wells tweets, Trubisky winning the MVP made perfect sense. He deserved it. Signed, Silk's Smackoff win.
Bruh.
That's not what that was. Silk did earn it that year. Silk made the best call that year. Trubisky, man, they were just clowning him. It was just funny. It was the NFL Twitter going NFL Twitter. Jeff in SoCal tweets, that F-bomb on Nickelodeon just became the perfect alibi for thousands of dads nationwide who drop an F-bomb in front of their child only to have them repeat it later on.
All right, let's...
Hey, man, I saw that on Nick. Saw it on Nickelodeon. This is why you're only allowed to watch Nickelodeon and you're only allowed to watch Disney Junior. This is why we only let you watch Aunt B and Mayberry, RFK, and Nick, where there's an F-bomb.
All right, let's...
Cordell Patterson, what the bleep? And my guy Nate's like, all right. Romy, I love the Nickelodeon. Regards, old man Ritt, paying a nickel to watch a silent movie.
Mmm.
Ambi. Mmm. Mm. Geoff.
Ambi.
Mmm.
Game on.
Where'd I leave that roll of nickels? Mmm.
Bring it on.
Dear Rome, I thought the NFL and Nick was idiotic. Then I saw my girls, ages 2 and 4, catch highlights from that broadcast. Their jaws dropped. They were absolutely riveted watching SpongeBob and the slime. I wish every game was on Nick so I could park them next to me and keep them quiet. Casey in New Hampshire, well said. That's good. That's good. So if that served that purpose, that's a win, right? If you had your little girls captivated, like you sat them in front of the TV, that's how it used to be when, like, Logan never was that kid. Probably because somebody put a phone in his hand early on. But Jake is of that age where we had to sit him in front of videos. Like there was no way Jake was going to eat unless Blue's Clues was on. Baby Einstein. You know, whatever it took back in the day. So I think that's pretty cool that Casey could sit his little girls next to him to watch football. You imagine if they didn't get that dog involving the Bears, if they got a good game, like what if they got last night's game, how much slime there would have been? Can you imagine how much SpongeBob there would have been? Rome, SpongeBob and football, the two greatest things ever put into one. Thank you, God. Regards, Gronk. Well done.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
SpongeBob and football, the two greatest things ever put into one. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Who lives in a pineapple?
Oh! Does that not check every single box for Gronk? SpongeBob, oh! Slime. Man, on a serious note, how about these weapons that Brady has? He never had that many weapons. I'm not saying there's a Randy Moss on that team, but he never had the plethora, the multitude of weapons. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That's what I'm Cameron Brate,
Mike Evans, Godwin, RJ in the backfield. Leonard Fournette. Look at what kind of shape Fournette's in, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Brady's got so many weapons. I'm loving the reaction to the Nickelodeon broadcast. Hey, Jim. I loved the Nickelodeon broadcast. However, I wish I spent more time explaining how the point spread and over-under worked. It would help the kids earn some more lunch money. Signed, The Big Head. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Signed, John in Erie.
Hey, John.
Shannon Shepherd tweets, almost drove off the road laughing from Jim Rome's take on the NFL Nickelodeon game. So good. Hey, Shannon. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That was fun. It was fun to watch it. It was fun to talk about it. Dear Jim, F-bombs on Nickelodeon I am writing to the TV execs and complaining. Yours, Adam Hawk, on his no swearing kick. Hawk is trying to cut out profanity this year. And liquor for January. And soda pop for the entire year. And swearing. Jared in Wisconsin. Was there a SpongeBob in the field goal posts, or was that my shroom coffee taking hold? Signed, the Sparrow. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
That's what I'm Thing talking is, about, baby.
I'm also a shroom in the coffee disciple. That's Cindy. Cindy brought that to the house, our stylist. And now we all do it. Not only do we all do it, we do it at home. Not only do we do it at home, I've got my teenage son, Jake Rome, doing it at home. D-Rod in the 925 tweets, SpongeBob in football. Screw that. We need Beavis and Butthead in football. You know what we need? We need to talk about the college football playoff championship game tonight. That's what I'm talking about, baby. Yogi Roth, Pac-12 network analyst, joins me to break that down. That's coming up next. Also next hour, Mercedes Lewis of the Packers. Stay tuned.